All right, tomorrow it is the Texas Derby. Houston Dynamo traveling from Minnesota up to Frisco, Texas to take on FC Dallas. Dallas now has won two in a row. They sit number three in the Western Conference with a record of 6-3-3. The Dynamo at 4-5-2 right now. Joining us from the independent ThirdDegree.net, he's Buzz Carrick. Buzz, thank you for coming on.
Glenn, my friend, thanks for having me on.
All right, two in a row for FC Dallas. A quick 6 points. So all of a sudden, you're third in the Western Conference. So things right now looking up for them.
Yeah, I think you have to be impressed with the way this team manages to grind out points both at home and on the road. I think most people that follow this team closely would say that both the offense and the defense are not as good as last year, but they continue to get results. And that's probably in the end what matters the most, right?
You're only behind Seattle and LAFC. The Dynamo just played Seattle, a 1-0 loss in a game where they were down to nine men. All right, Nico Estevez, kind of give us a report card on him because there's a lot of good things said about him as a coach.
Yeah, he was brought in with a mandate to effectively fix the defense and to get this team into the playoffs as much as possible. It means that they've moved a little bit away from the mantra of playing the kids of the hardcore academy pathway. They're playing a little bit older guys and a little bit more stable guys. And it means they're able to grind out results. They play a much more defensively minded shape. They're much more interested in stifling the opposition and keeping the game close and tight, which is why they're able to grind out points on the road and not let things get away from them. So they're always in every game. And with the offense being a little out of sorts, except for Jesus Ferreira, when Jesus Ferreira scores, they win. He has 8 goals on the year. 5 of them are game winners. And he's the difference between them and mediocrity.
He's got 3 in the last 2 games. Sounds in some ways similar to the Houston Dynamo, although the Dynamo were a little bit more open against Minnesota United with some of the differing personnel they started. So back to that, I mean, it's obviously Velasco, O'Brien on the counterattack, and then your finisher, Ferreira.
Yeah, Velasco was hurt recently. He's back now. He's probably been back for a couple of games. People talk about FC Dallas as a pressing team. Well, they used to be a pressing team, and they do like occasionally to press, but they have actually have a really low number of presses in the league. I think they were last time I looked. They play a mid to low block, and then it's less of an over-the-top sort of counterattack as much as it is rapid transition. They play the ball on the ground, and they move it back and forth and try to punch through the gaps and break lines and such, but it's not like a boot-it-and-chase kind of counterattack. It's a rapid transition. They want to take advantage of mistakes. They want to take advantage of recoveries and turnovers. But other than that, they're not really that concerned with having the ball.
Yeah, I mean, looking at it, you want to hit the feet of Velasco and O'Brien, and then you got a very savvy finisher in Ferreira. Ferreira, again, has 3 goals in the last 2 games. He's one of the hottest strikers. I want to go back to something you said. You used the word mandate. We're talking to Buzz Carrick, ThirdDegree.net. It's the numeral 3, RDDegree.net, independent, longtime coverage of FC Dallas. You said the word mandate. Who put the mandate on Nico Estevez to become a more defensive team?
Dan and Clark Hunt. When they missed the playoffs in the last year under Lucci Gonzalez, and they fired Lucci late in that season with about 8 to 10 games left, everyone in the organization and both those owners talked about fix the defense, fix the defense, fix the defense. And he did. So when he came in, you know, all the press conferences, all his talking was about the coach says the defense needs to be better, and that they were right. They went from one of the worst defenses in the league to the second best defense in the history of this club last year. And that was the difference between missing the playoffs and becoming fourth in the West. They finished last time. So they've clamped down the goals, and they rarely allow multiple goal games. And so they keep everything tight, and it gives them a chance to get points when other teams can't get points. I mean, let's be clear. Like, this team is not in the same caliber as LAFC or Seattle. We jokingly call them the best of the rest because they don't have these incredibly high priced, super high profile DPs. They have the homegrown Jesus. They have the Paxton Pomykals. They have some mid kind of tier DPs like Paul Areola. They have a really, really young guy like Alan Velasco. They just can't punch at that same weight, but yet they're able to grind out results because of this defensive first mentality of not extending yourself and not getting exposed.
So it does come, though, at the cost of a playing style. I also look at the loss of Matt Hedges, and is this also maybe an attempt to protect the central part of your defense?
It is. Hedges was a cap casualty combined with age. You know, he was into his low 30s and, you know, starts to get injured and not be able to available as much as you wanted. But that's it. It's protecting the not so great center backs. They have a solid shot stopping keeper who's capable of standing on his head and keeping you in a game. Both of their sixes are relatively pedestrian and not necessarily game breaking players. So they end up with a low number of shots, but they're very efficient. They tend to get between four, you know, at their best, they're like a 40% shots on goal ratio. And Jesus scores on like half of the goals he gets on frame. So he has a really high finishing rate, but a low shot rate. So it's all about correct shot selection and getting into good positions when they do get forward with the ball, which they don't have quite often.
Buzz Carrick, thirddegree.net. They just won 1-0 at Austin FC on a dramatic Ferreira goal and 2-1 over Vancouver. By the way, that was a comeback victory after Martin Paz, the goalkeeper trying to play out of the back, made a mistake. So it's pretty clear. Dan and the Hunts are picking the lineup for this team.
I don't think they're quite doing that. They give him the leeway. Clark doesn't pay attention on a day-to-day basis. Dan is here all the time and actually runs the team, but I don't think that he would be involved at that level. You know, they were very clear that, like, this team will make the playoffs. That's the bare minimum of what we expect here. You know, so they did give him a pretty strong indication. But this coach is very, very conscious of running a very short roster. They only have about 25 active players here in town. And three or four of those are kids that are never in the rotation. So really he's running a 20-man roster. And so there's heavy man management using all five subs, heavy rotations from time to time with guys that can come in and out of the starting lineup. It's all about managing the longer season and the heat here and keeping this team in the conversation, even if they're not good enough to be one of the best.
Buzz Carrick, thirddegree.net on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, daspitlaw.com. Let's talk Jesus Ferreira. He just got a new form of motivation in the name of Falaron Balogun, who's committed to the U.S. men's national team. Before we get into his season right now and that he's one of the hottest strikers in MLS at the current moment based on the last two games, did anybody really ever ask him about the World Cup and maybe after being quite the go-to guy, not getting a lot of minutes, and what was his reaction?
Yeah, he's talked a little bit about it publicly. Even way before that, about a year ago, he had talked about having a counselor and talking to somebody about sports psychology and sports mentality because he was letting negative things get to him too much. And he worked really hard on playing in the moment, staying in the moment. And that really came to the head when he had, in his own admission, not that great of a World Cup, both in opportunity and when he actually got into the game. That certainly wasn't what he or his people expected to have happen. So he's really worked hard to keep a good mindset and to not get dragged down by those things. He knows that it's tough. He's become aware of all the negativity that he gets on social media from certain segments of the national team fandom, and he tries to block that thing out. So he's very dialed in on his father's legacy here and trying to do something his father never did here. And yet he knows he has a bigger future ahead of him. And so he tries not to listen to the noise and he tries to stay in the moment. And I think you could, if you watched him this season coming out of that World Cup and into the beginning of the season, he definitely was in a little bit of a funk. He definitely was feeling it, but he's worked through it. And over the last month or so, he's really started to heat up and get back to the form he had last year. A lot of which is based around limited touches. When the ball comes to his feet, you want to see him with either a shot right off of the bounce or maybe one or two touches at most. It's quick trigger, rapid fire. When he tries to do too much and tries to compensate for everybody else is when he gets in trouble. So being in the moment and being present and being the playing in the system properly is when he excels at his best. And that's how he has gotten to where he is in this league.
Well, with that said, maybe this transitional type of game very quickly getting up the field and getting the ball to him around the penalty area, which generally leads, you hope, to immediate chances off breaks. Maybe this suits him perfectly.
Yeah, it really does. The way that Dallas has transitioned to a rapid transition team and the way they try and get forward with acceleration is perfect for him because his false nine movement creates a lot of stress and pulls center backs out of position. And then he or the wingers can attack those gaps. And he's really good at making the slightly delayed run into the box, getting into a free spot and finding these one or two shot opportunities to get it on goal and get tight and get good quality finishes.
So if the Dynamo put out an attack oriented lineup, They're going to have the task of trying to break down FC Dallas. The Dynamo will return Hector Herrera to the starting lineup, most likely Amin Bassi as well. That may be against the Dynamo nature a little bit, having to break down a deep defending team.
Yeah, at home, Dallas will defend a little higher than on the road, but it is definitely a mid to low block most all the time. You know, they keep it, even when they're in possession, they keep a very rigid W shape with their back lines and wings and don't get extended. And then they can press back into two lines and, of defense, you know, in that typical mid to low shape that you see all around the world. And they make it difficult for you to get through that. They have enough pace to handle you if you try and go over the top. They try and keep the spaces tight. They're not really worried about balls in from the outside wings because they have some relatively tall center backs. So they make it where you got to work really hard to break them down, and they don't really try very aggressively to get the ball back. They'll wait for you to make a mistake and then pounce. So it's, if you can't handle breaking down a block, it's going to be a long day. And this is true of any team. It's also true of Dallas. Dallas isn't real good at breaking down a block when teams come in here and play a block against them. They're not really good at long possession. It's difficult for anybody around the world to break down blocks. There's a reason why people play them. So you can expect to see that, I think. Even at home, you can expect to see Dallas play a block.
Talking to Buzz Carrick, ThirdDegree.net. Back to Jesus Ferreira. Jesus enjoys a little bit of twerking and a little bit of gamesmanship. You know, especially against the Dynamo, you know, the pound of the chest. We saw that recently again. Adds to the flavor, doesn't it?
Yeah, he does enjoy a little back and forth with the fan. I can remember that goal. Was it last year down in the right front of the Dynamo supporters where there were some cups tossed back and forth? You know, he does feed off of the energy of the hate sometimes from the stands. He is an emotional guy, even though he tries not to be. And you can see in his body language when he plays too, he's a demonstrative player. And sometimes his teammates look at him sideways because he does carry himself in a negative way from time to time. But when it's on, he really does feed off of that energy and get motivated and moving. And it almost is a better tactic to try and defuse him rather than antagonize him, because he is a guy that relishes that attitude.
I noticed it seems to me that Dallas attendance has improved in Frisco. What are the reasons in your mind for that, Buzz?
That began last year when they sold Ricardo Pepi for a big chunk of money. They, with the combination of that and the official announcement that the World Cup was coming, gave the Hunts a target of a certain amount of investment that they want to make and get their club to a certain place to try and play off of the big boost they're expecting from the World Cup for soccer here in the States. So starting last year, they hired a new VP of marketing. They didn't have one. They went out and got one, and they've increased their spending and they've increased their effort in every phase of the organization. It really has been amazing to watch here. Now, their hit rate is not 100%, of course, but to go from where they were to this willingness to spend and willingness to market, we're seeing it all around town here. It's created a boost in the standings, and they're now selling out almost every home game. They don't get the midweek games yet, but they get, you know, I think it's like six or seven of eight games have now sold out here. Now, the stadium only holds 19,000 people, so it's not like they're bringing in 72 or anything. But from the days when they were averaging 10, 12, 13, to now be up averaging almost a sellout on the season is remarkable. And for the fan base here, it's really enjoyable. For those of us that have been here a long, long time, seeing these packed out stadiums, people having a good time, they've worked on the game atmosphere improvement, the quality of the event, not just on the field, but the whole thing inside the stadium, whether it be ancillary stuff for kids or game presentation. You know, it just has gotten better across the board. And the Hunts deserve a lot of credit for that, because they have upped their spending significantly now they've seen that they can make this kind of peppy money through this organization.
All right. Real quick before we let you go, do you notice that mainstream media is covering FC Dallas a little bit more?
Not really, no. Unfortunately, that is about the same. You know, the big dog here is obviously the Cowboys, and there are multiple other sports that are really huge. I think that there is an awareness to a certain level for FC Dallas that's higher than it's ever been, but I definitely would not say that we're seeing mainstream coverage. I do feel that the World Cup is going to help, and we are seeing a slight tick up, and hopefully that will continue over the next couple of years.
Buzz Carrick, ThirdDegree.net. Buzz, thank you very much for coming on tonight. We appreciate it. Nice preview there of FC Dallas.
Oh, thank you, Glenn. Anytime.